This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And also reminding you that today, September 18th, is the Air Force birthday. It was born this day, 1947. Once again, from the Jesse Kelly Show family to you, happy birthday to the United States Air Force.
In the studio this morning, one of the gay rights activists, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Sure. Pepe Julian Onzima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
good morning.
Me. Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay. You are a transgender.
What shows that I'm gay?
You are a transgender, yes, and you're a gay rights activist and an outspoken.
I quit. Focus. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday at this time, you know what we do. We take a Medal of Honor citation from someone who's earned one, and we read it. That's it. Very simple. Very basic. We think it's important. This is a way we remember these men and remember their deeds. It's a way we hold up the appropriate heroes in front of the next generation. We talk about culture. We've talked about it tonight. Changing the culture is changing the culture. Part of changing the culture is who you hold up in front of the next generation and tell them, hey, that's what you're going for. It's what you want to be. Well, sadly, these things sometimes take quite a bit of time and quite a bit of lobbying, if you will, to finally get these things recognized, these acts of heroism. You wouldn't believe how many acts of heroism didn't get people medals of honor. And Larry Taylor's story is one of them. This is a Vietnam story. Larry L. Taylor, he just got it, last week, for his actions on June 18th, 1968 in Vietnam. So without further ado.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
First Lieutenant Larry L. Taylor distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty while serving with Troop D, Air, 1st Squadron, 4th Cavalry, 1st Infantry Division on June 18, 1968, near the village of Ap Go Cong, Republic of Vietnam. On this date, 1st Lieutenant Taylor commanded a light fire team of two Cobra helicopter gunships scrambled on a nighttime mission in response to an urgent call for aerial fire support from a four-man long-range patrol team. Upon arrival, 1st Lieutenant Taylor found the patrol team surrounded and heavily engaged by a larger Viet Cong force. He immediately requested illumination rounds from supporting artillery to assist with identifying the enemy positions. Despite the intense ground fire, enemy ground fire, he flew at perilously low altitude, placing a devastating volume of aerial rocket and machine gun fire on the enemy forces and circling the friendly patrol. For approximately 45 minutes, 1st Lieutenant Taylor and his wingman continued to make low-level, danger-close attacks on surrounding enemy positions. When enemy fire increased from the villages of Ap Go Kong, he requested artillery rounds with lower illumination altitudes be fired on that portion of the village so that the burning rounds ignited the enemy positions. With both Cobra gunships nearly out of ammunition and the enemy still closing in on the patrol team, First Lieutenant Taylor flew the patrol team's potential ground evacuation route, finding it unviable based on the heavy enemy fire encountered. Returning to the patrol team's location, he continued to circle it at a low level under intense enemy fire, employing his searchlight to make fake gun runs on enemy positions to distract them from the patrol team. Running low on fuel and with the patrol team nearly out of ammunition, First Lieutenant Taylor decided to extrap the team with his two-man Cobra helicopter gunship, a feat never before accomplished. He directed his wingman to fire their remaining miniguns on the patrol team's east flank. First Lieutenant Taylor then fired his own last minigun rounds on enemy positions, opening an avenue of movement to the east for the patrol team. He directed the patrol team to move 100 yards towards the extraction point, where First Lieutenant Taylor, still under enemy fire, landed his helicopter and instructed the patrol team to climb aboard anywhere they could. With the four-man long-range patrol team seated on rocket pods and skids, he evacuated them to the nearest friendly location, undoubtedly saving their lives. First Lieutenant Taylor's conspicuous gallantry, his profound concern for his fellow soldiers, and his intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. That's four men alive only because of First Lieutenant Taylor. And look, I'm not going to do it today. I have other stuff I need to get to today, but the long-range reconnaissance patrols in Vietnam, they're some of the most intense things you can ever read about. Of these guys, these small patrols, they would head just deep out into the bush to scout, to recon things. And the idea was to remain quiet. You didn't want to be found. You didn't want to, attack anybody. But if you were found, you did not have the heavy equipment needed to fight off any kind of a sizable force. These were tiny little reconnaissance patrols. You would know if you're a tiny reconnaissance patrol. I'll tell you this, having read enough about these guys, if you're a small light range reconnaissance patrol, you know when you're surrounded, you're going to die because you just don't have, you're not close enough to help. You don't have the guns to fight them off. You're going to die. I'm sure they were fighting with everything they had, but every one of those guys, I guarantee you, at least had in the back of his head, this is it, man. We're done. And in come a couple Cobra gunships. Those are sweet. Those are attack helicopters, I should mention, for people who don't understand. Those are attack helicopters, the cool-looking ones. And illumination rounds, I can't wrap my mind around him firing them low to light enemy positions on fire. I used to shoot illumination rounds. We had smaller ones with the mortars we'd cook off, and they really are very cool. You shoot them way up in the sky, and they do exactly what you think. They go off, and it's just like this super bright fireworks. You can see everything on the ground. I don't even know how you would pull in that kind of fire mission, but that is freaking impressive. So well done, Mr. Larry L. Taylor. Now let's do a couple things. First of all, the spending House Republican thing. The fight is officially on in the United States House of Representatives. The headline from today for Kevin McCarthy. McCarthy warns House Republicans against spending Stonewall. Here's what you should know, and I'm texting with the hardliners you and I like in Congress. Here's a text I got last night from one of them. I can't tell you who it is because I didn't get permission for that, but this is the text I got. I am supporting, for now, he says, the path forward to achieve border security and get an 8% cut to the DOJ as part of a 30-day extension. He said it will not pass the Senate and we'll be shut down. How about that for inside baseball? I just read you the text message from the United States Congressman I was texting with last night. So there you go. How about that? Okay, so what do you take from that? Here's what's happening right now. The, quote, hardliners, the Freedom Caucus types, those are going to be our people, your people and my people, except for Ken Buck. Anyway, what do they want? They're trying for a 30-day deal. This is supposed to be some big extension, at least to the end of the year. What they're hoping for is the extension funds the government to the end of the year. What the hardliners, what your people, what my people in Congress want right now, what their goal is right now, this is not going to apply to all of them. I'll explain in a minute. But what do they want? They want to do a 30-day one instead of the rest of the year. They want to get actual border security as part of the deal. And they want an 8% cut to Department of Justice funding. This is in response to all the endless weaponization of the DOJ, FBI, all that stuff. Now, I will say, there are those in the House who are even playing harder to get than this. They're saying, and probably correctly, that 30 days just kicks down the road, that the funding you get for border security won't be spent on border security by the Biden administration anyway. And they're also saying the 8% cut to the DOJ won't actually defund the special counsel, Jack Smith, who's going after Trump. All those things are true. But we're going someplace with this, and I don't know if you can see it. I hope. Well, you know what? Let's discuss where we're going to this. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know if I can see it. I don't know if you can see it, but I think I know how this is going to play out. We'll talk about it next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Went for a drive today with the wife. She just had to go down and pick something up for the kids while they were at school. And she's like, you want to drive me? And I didn't have anything to do. So I was like, yeah, let's go for a little drive. And of course, as we're walking out the door, there's Fred. He comes running to the door and sits there and just stares at us. And so we have to take the freaking dog along for a little short drive. And then he sits there the whole time and he gets to slobber all over my midlife crisis car. And he's got his head on my shoulder. And I do hope that lasts for quite a while. We give Fred rough greens every single meal because we hope that big fluffy idiot is slobbering up my car for a long time from now. Rough greens is actual nutrition. I know Fred doesn't get any in his dog food. It's brown for a reason. Dog food is dead. So we pour Rough Greens, natural nutritional supplement, on his food. He gets all the vitamins, minerals, omega oils. He gets everything he needs. He's living longer because of Rough Greens. 833-33-MY-DOG for a free jumpstart bag or roughgreens.com/Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's already been an awesome Monday. If you miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast of it. It's free too. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address if you want to email us. Oh, by the way, those podcasts can be found at iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. All right, so the battle is being set up. Nobody in the Senate wants any kind of a hiccup in funding the government. Because virtually every Republican, not all of them, but almost every Republican in the Senate and every Democrat in the Senate, they don't care about the country. They just want everything to keep going along as we go to a debt crisis. And let's pause on this for a moment here, because we should start here when we're discussing budget things. I swear I'm going to play some fart sounds and make some jokes after this, because what I'm about to say is going to be really a little bit heavy. But I'm telling you right now, we are in serious financial trouble. There is no way, almost no way around it by now. We are so buried in debt with interest rates going up and all these economic dislocations happening and bubbles popping. The national debt, remember, as you know, we've talked about it a bunch, what it means if we have a huge default on the debt, the national debt, it's everything right now, everything. And we're getting together to discuss funding. What should we fund? What shouldn't we fund? As if there's money here. This should be what this funding thing should be. Should we fund the government? Do we cut 8%? Should we cut 50? What about, do we move this money around? This should be an emergency, all hands on deck meeting from both parties to figure out the bare bones amount they still have to fund before slashing and burning the rest of it in order to avoid a crisis. This financial problem we're having, I talked to an interview I did with him a couple weeks ago with Peter Schiff. It got picked up today. Zero Hedge was running with this interview where Schiff and I were discussing where this is going. He's talking Great Depression 2.0 the way I've been talking, the what I've been telling you. It's just a matter of math. You can't have this level of debt with the interest rates. When you can't cover the interest rates, then it's automatic. You start defaulting on it, but they won't want to start defaulting on it. So what they'll do, like every government does when they get in this situation, they'll start printing even more and devaluing the currency. Only that is it's just so bad, right? It's so bad. So as we discuss all this, what should we fund? What shouldn't we fund? Let's understand this meeting shouldn't even be happening. It shouldn't be a meeting of what we should or shouldn't fund. This should be an emergency meeting of what do we keep? Everything else has to go now. You ever watch one of those movies where an old sailing ship, it's in a bad storm, in danger of going down, and so they start throwing everything overboard, even the cannons, everything, all extra weight. Everyone's suitcase has to go. That's what the budget meeting should be looking like right now. We're trying to survive. But anyway, McCarthy's telling them don't cut. You have our hardliners who are saying cut 8% of DOJ, fund the border. But then you have others, like Matt Gaetz is one of these. You have others who are saying that's not near enough. You're still funding Jack Smith, DOJ. Where I think this is going is I think there's going to be a deal done. And write this one down, Chris. I think there's not only going to be a deal done, I think it won't be a short-term deal. I think it'll actually be a deal that will do us through the end of the year at least. It will be a deal that cuts very little, if anything, and it will fund everything through the end of the year. And this is your frustration, right? And I'm sorry to break that down for you, but this is your frustration. This is my frustration. They never stand. When we're screaming at them to stand, they never stand. Back to the question I've had before. Jesse, why aren't there dinos when there are so many rhinos? Man, our guys just don't stand strong, and then we don't hold them accountable. We don't. We don't hold our own presidents accountable. All of our presidents spend way too much money, too. Every big spending bill Congress passes, they just sign them all as if this money's actually here when the money's gone. It doesn't even exist. It's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating to watch. We've discussed before, the train is coming down the tracks. The debt train is coming. And it's not an illusion. It's not an oasis. It's a fact. We have the numbers in front of us. All the dollars, the cents, the interest rates. We know about the unfunded liabilities. None of these are opinions. These are all facts. The crisis is coming. The world is going to drop the dollar and forever alter your standard of living and mine. This is coming. And all these people, Democrats and Republicans, they're all going to scramble and meet to discuss how much more paper money that's worth nothing they should be spending for the rest of the year instead of discussing what they should slash and burn. It's very frustrating. It's frustrating that these are the people who lead the finance talks on the planet.
We're focused on climate change and the impact, the adverse impact that's having on developing countries, on emerging markets.
That's Janet Yellen, super focused on climate change while the debt crisis train. That's my train sound, Chris. How good was that? Wait, Chris, wait for this one. Beep, beep. What? That was a good one. While the train comes down the tracks. Do my own sound effects, Chris. Stop being so jealous. I didn't do that one. That one was the soundboard, but you understand what I mean. Chris is probably jealous of my hero gun. Mainly because I gave one to Chris out of the goodness of my heart, and his wife finally took it right away. So Chris is now hero gunless still. He should get a hero arrow. So when he's out jogging in his yoga pants or whatever, so you can carry the hero arrow along and be safe. I want you safe in your yoga pants, Chris. I'm thinking of you. Look, Chris, it's non-lethal. Don't stress it. It's non-lethal. Go to hero2020.com and get yourself something to protect yourself with. Bad men are everywhere. They really are. They're everywhere. Violent people are everywhere. The Hero Arrow even has a 120 decimal alarm. That alone might save your life. It is ear-piercing, I know, because I accidentally set mine off in the kitchen, and that was brutal. Anyway, go to hero2020.com. You don't need a concealed carry permit. Use the promo code Jesse because that gets you a special discount. But get one and protect yourself, all right? State restrictions may apply.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. The cultural commies are running into a little bit of a problem over there in Michigan with all the old pride stuff. We'll get to that here in a little bit. I want to get to some emails. We have so much more we have to get to tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Jesse, his subject to this one is actually really sad. Subject to this one is called Unequally Yoked. Jesse, I'm married to an ignorant possible communist who just cowers to whatever she is fed. She's a physician who thinks whatever the CDC or FDA says is the gospel truth. I recently had COVID, as did my 19-year-old daughter, and we both took ivermectin. Daughter let that slip, and the wife lost her mind about it. I expect my kids to do chores and be responsible for their things. I grew up ranching and spent 4 years as an infantry officer in the Army. I lose my beep from time to time, but never towards my wife. As a not perfect husband or person not wanting to break up a family, what do I do? I brought this one up because we've had these questions in here before. Jesse, my husband is a nutball dirty commie. Jesse, my wife's a dirty commie. Jesse, what do I do? What do I do? Look, I don't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing. These are the situations. They can feel impossible, and the answer is never what you want to hear. You've just got to kind of tough it out and keep talking to them and keep trying to show them the truth and keep praying for them. I have experienced many times in my life friends, some family members who have married somebody that probably wasn't the direction they should have gone. I guess I'll put it that way. And it just, it makes life a little difficult. It makes life extremely difficult for a while. And I don't know that there is a good answer for that. Jesse, just discovered your show about a month ago. I've easily become a loyal listener here in California. Your Medal of Honor Mondays is one of my favorite parts, as it inspires all the reasons I look at going into the military when I was younger. Was never allowed to join due to being diabetic, so on and so forth. The first question is, I never heard asked the whole Okay, who Joe, that got a little, it's about Joe Biden firing the prosecutor in Ukraine. You remember that audio that came out about Joe Biden firing the prosecutor? And the guy wanted to know what was the result of the transaction. Did he finish the job of the previous prosecutor? That's essentially what this guy's asking. And the answer to the question is no. Joe Biden had the guy who was looking into his son's company fired. And, well, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was going supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
You heard that last part, didn't you? Thank you for getting the extended version, the one people don't hear, Chris. The result was they fired the guy who was looking into his son's company, and they put in somebody who moved on from that investigation. Someone Joe Biden considered solid. Solid. Yeah. This is a dirty family. This is an illegal family. And I just want to pause on this one moment before I get to a couple other emails and the Chuck Schumer relaxing the dress code thing. Do keep in mind that the Clintons did worse things than the Bidens have ever thought about doing. That whole Clinton Foundation thing is one of the dirtiest things I've ever heard of in my entire life. You start a gigantic, quote, charitable organization, and while your Secretary of State, while Hillary's Secretary of State, you're taking in gigantic quantities of money to your foundation from these foreign entities you have dealings with as Secretary of State. Oh, and because remember, all these, quote, nonprofits, their books have to be opened up. They opened up the books and no one can figure out where the organization has spent any money on anything significant at all. These people, man, I'm telling. All right. So, you know, Senator Cucumber, right? Well, he has this thing he likes to do, and politicians do like to do this thing. So I get it. He has a shtick. It's a shtick. John Fetterman's shtick is this, and it's a very effective shtick. He likes to dress like a white trash bum. I recognize it because I am a white trash bum. Why does John Fetterman dress like a white trash bum? Why? Well, here's why. And you're going to see more and more of this from modern day Democrats. So get yourself ready for this. He dresses like a white trash bum because John Fetterman is from the state of Pennsylvania. He's not from Connecticut. He's not from California. He's from Pennsylvania. Those are my people. That's Rust Belt State. What do I mean by that? Oh, you've got plenty of Republicans. You've got plenty of Democrats. But the Democrats you will have in Pennsylvania, for the most part, fall into really one of two categories. Well, three categories. Here's the three category of Pennsylvania Democrat. One, the inner city black Democrat. That's going to be your Philadelphia, bad part of town Democrat. Set them aside for the purposes of this conversation. Doesn't matter. Two, affluent Democrat. All the rich parts of Pittsburgh and Philly, the rich snooty people who give $100 to Black Lives Matter and then go brag to their friends about it. That's the third kind. Or that's the second kind. But the third kind is the biggest part of a state like Pennsylvania. Democrats who are actually normal people. I know this because they're all throughout my family and working construction in Ohio from a construction family. I grew up around all these people. If we were all together, you, me, and all of them, you would have no idea any of these people were Democrats. They talk exactly like you talk. They raise their kids the same way you raise your kids. They're normal working people. They just grew up Democrat. Almost all of them come from either unions or union families. But they're fairly non-political, normal people who are used to voting Democrat. John Fetterman, however, is a full-blown communist cultural Marxist nut job that has positions straight from the pit
Do
of hell.
Do you support any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I've always believed...
Even in the third trimester?
I believe that choice is between a woman, her doctor, and a God if she prays to one.
Do you believe there should be any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I believe that's a choice between a woman and her doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. So if you're John Fetterman and you want to get elected in a state of Pennsylvania, you don't necessarily have to go to the right on your issues, moderate on your issues. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is dress like them, talk like them, walk like them. People, you see this all the time on the left, right, middle. This is the whole history of the world. This has been politics. There's no ability like relatability. It's a fact. I hate pander politics. You probably hate pander politics. I hope you do. I despise it. But the truth is, a lot of people love pander politics. People want to be pandered to. And people really, pander to might be a harsh way to put it. People want to feel heard and understood. Even if candidate A doesn't agree with me on every single issue, he disagrees with me about this and that, but his background's like my background, his family looks like my family. I, if I was a little different than I am, would probably be able to convince myself that, you know what? I mean, he gets me. You hear Republicans do this all the time. Democrats do it all the time. They'll make excuses for bad positions because there's no ability like relatability. And that brings us to what Chuck Schumer did today, which we'll go over in a second. Then we'll get to this Michigan Pride stuff and everything else. But first, I need to talk to you about my meat and your meat. Good Ranchers meat. All American meat. You know what we found out today? The gigantic, one of the two gigantic grocery chains right here in the state of Texas, their pharmacy will not be fulfilling prescriptions for ivermectin that doctors call in for their patients. That's how ingrained in woke filth politics these big grocery chains are everywhere. It's like this all 50 states. So I still have to go to the grocery store, but I don't have to get everything from the grocery store. I get better meat delivered to my home. Good Ranchers has my values. They have 100% American-sourced meat, and they deliver it to my front door. And they'll do the same to you with 2 years' worth of free ground beef. Go to goodranchers.com, pick the box that works for your family, and sign up. That gets you $480 worth of free ground beef. How about that? But you have to go to goodranchers.com and use the code Jesse. Goodranchers.com, code Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. So just catching you up, we're talking about Fetterman and how he likes to dress like a bum and why he likes to dress like a bum. Why does Senator Cucumber dress like a bum? Because his values are wildly out of step with even most Pennsylvania Democrats. So you have to normalize. If your values aren't going to be their values, make them think you're one of them. Of course he's not. This is a Harvard guy. He's to the left of Mao. He's not a Pennsylvania guy, not a Rust Belt guy. But he has to fool people. So he likes to dress like a turd. He likes to wear these hoodies with these kind of like basketball shorts. It's really bad. What he wears is really bad. And he likes to wear it around the Capitol. Only the United States Senate has a dress code, and it should. Because while I may hate our United States senators, and I do, the United States Senate is still a very, very, very important, prestigious place, and there should be a dress code. And Chuck Schumer just relaxed it so Senator Cucumber can wear hoodies and shorts in the Senate. I only brought up this story for one reason, and this is so I could get Chris to write down a prediction. Get ready, Chris, because this is how this begins. And I think it's probably reasonable to assume this show is not going anywhere. Right? Given the success of the show so far, we're probably going to be around a while, Lord willing. I guess you never know. Chris, mark my words. This is how it begins. The hoodies and shorts, 10, 20 years from now, there's going to be some half-naked tranny on the Senate floor giving speeches. Mark my words. You think I'm crazy? Y'all, you think I'm crazy? This is how it always begins. That's how it always be. You watch, mark my words, it's coming. It's going to be tranny night at the Senate. It's going to be a mess. You're going to have to disinfect the seat. All right, well, you know what? We're moving on. We're getting to some emails. Before we get back to this, they're having a little bit of a problem on the left, and that's not good. By the way, you might be having a problem, a shooting problem. You see, maybe you're not shooting enough. We all have to practice, right? Practice, practice, practice. We all have to practice. But it's hard to talk yourself into going to the range sometimes. Sometimes it's a pain. Oftentimes it's expensive. I dropped $100 this weekend at the range. Whole family went out for some stuff. So what do we do? Well, I can't go to the range every time. I practice at home with Mantis X. I don't miss range time. I just do it in my home. Mantis X attaches to your weapon. You dry fire practice in the comfort of your home. And it's a lot more than target practice. They're giving you feedback. They're fixing your technique, putting you through drills, and keeping track of your score. You know, you and your family are going to actually have fun with each other competing without firing a shot. All you have to do, you have to go to MantisX.com. Don't hope you're ready. Make sure, trust me, shooting skills are perishable. MantisX.com. All right, let's get to some emails. King of underrated. You pushed legal and local activism, so I started here in Louisiana. I got in contact with the great Scott Pressler, who connected me to some activists in my area. I started campaigning for Brandon Troskleyer for Secretary of State, started writing letters to new voters, then putting up signs, now contacting people through social media, and we'll be knocking doors soon. I'm hooked. I get to meet tons of people in my area and spread knowledge to Norm and Norma. Thanks for kicking us in the rear to fix our town and state. I guess I probably should have mentioned this when I was yelling at everybody to turn their anger into activism. You might just find yourself having fun, making friends. You know, when I look back on campaigning, I ran for Congress, you remember, lost a couple times. But when I look back on campaigning, I don't look back and cringe at really much of it. The stuff I cringe when I think about having to ask people for money all the time. That sucked. I always hated that. Chris, it'd be easier for you, but I always thought that was hard for me. Asking people for money sucked. Debates were a blast. Debate night is so much fun. If you go into a debate night with the right attitude, oh my gosh, it's so much fun standing up there sparring with people. I used to just love debate night. And meeting with people, knocking on doors, going to different things. You might find yourself with a whole host of new friends. Oh, and did I mention this? All you lonely dudes out there. Jesse, I can't find a good woman. All you lonely dimes out there. Jesse, where are the men at? Maybe, just maybe, you're going to run into a like-minded person at the local political event, the local political rally, a get-out-the-vote rally. Maybe you're dialing for dollars with some candidates and you look over and she's making eyes at you and you think, hey, she might be Red Lobster worthy. So you start talking to her. What, Chris? Finding out if she's truly Red Lobster worthy. Not many women are. Dear Mr. Meat, you read a lot of history books, but do you read any fiction? His name is Jordan. I hate myself for this answer. Okay. Remember, you want to read. And maybe you're saying right now, I don't like to read. That's a lie. That's a lie. Everybody likes to read. You just haven't found what you like to read yet. Everyone likes to read different things. Forget about me. The wife will read textbooks. I know that's the nerdiest, worst. She'll read an accounting textbook. Just one of those detail freaks anyway. But she enjoys it. I started reading fiction books. And I read all the Vince Flynn books. Those are good books. And Lee Child books were good books. I read most of the Tom Clancy stuff. I read all those books. So I did. That's mainly the books I read. I switched a while back. I started going, I'd read one nonfiction, then one fiction. One nonfiction, and then one fiction. I started wanting to make myself get into nonfiction books so I could try to acquire some knowledge while I was reading. You're going to sit down and read. I'm going to acquire knowledge. But remember, you're always acquiring knowledge, even with your fiction books. I'm not insulting what you read. I wanted to get wiser. So I started reading off and on, one nonfiction, one fiction. And then, apparently, because I'm 42 going on 72, I started finding myself enjoying the nonfiction books more and more and more. And now that's all I read are nonfiction books. And I just want to stress this to you too, for you readers or potential readers. Maybe you're sitting there scoffing, Jesse, I would never. Jesse, I only got the Anti-Communist Manifesto on audiobook. That's fine. It's fine. But hear me. Hear me out. When you find a subject you're interested in, because your interests are going to be different than mine, right? But when you find something that interests you, do a deep dive on that, and you'll be amazed not only at how much good stuff you find on it, but how those things lead to other things. You find out you love this, well, that leads to that. Like, I was always fascinated with Alexander the Great, as most guys are. Digging into Alexander the Great and his conquests and this and that. And that eventually brought me to the Ptolemy Empire in Egypt and how that started. Wait, that's interesting, because Ptolemy was one of Alexander the Great's generals. Oh, what are these guys? The Seleucid Empire. What do you mean, armored war elephants? You know, one thing leads to another. Just start somewhere, all right? We've started somewhere with 2 hours of show. We have a third hour next. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.